Transportation to order. Thank you, Betty, for being here. And note that Senator Davis, Senator Meyer, and Senator Kukesh are here, and we do have a quorum. The order of business today, but today is April 7th, and it is 2 o'clock. The order of business is Senate Bill 14, an act expanding the motor fuel tax suspension period. So let's go ahead and start with Senate Bill 14, and Senator Davis, would you like to speak, or would you like your staff to speak?
I'm just going to let my okay. Bill.
Your name and affiliation for the record, please.
Senator Kukesh, Tom Obermeyer, aide to Senator Davis. Bill before the Transportation Committee, which I think is an appropriate place for this bill, was an act suspending the motor fuel tax suspension period. SB 14 extends for an additional 2 years to August 31 of 2011, the termination date of the one-year suspension of the tax imposed by the governor in 2008 under Senate Bill 4004. This bill extends motor fuel tax relief of approximately 8 cents per gallon to Alaska consumers and businesses, and it's a lower tax rate on aviation fuel and I guess you call it motor fuel for vessels, which continues to cost some of the highest prices in the nation. Initiated at a time when the prices were spiking to all-time highs, the tax relief afforded to Alaskans in 2008 is still important in sustaining and stimulating the Alaska economy in the national economic recession, which is expected to last several years. Fuel costs affect almost every aspect of Alaska life and work, recreation, vacations, private and business use. High fuel prices affect the cost of all goods and materials transported by sea, air, and road. Most goods have to be shipped very long distances to Alaska. Every year, hundreds of thousands of shipping containers carrying goods to Alaska must be shipped by sea and road over 2,000 miles to Anchorage, the largest population center and the distribution point to most other parts of the state. And from there, over 80% of the goods are distributed to Alaska communities, reached only by air transportation. The reverse is true of Alaska exports and seafood shipped south or overseas. Air and cruise travel, which is critical to the Alaska tourism industry, is declining in the current recession. Bookings are down, and airlines and cruise lines are cutting back due to decreased demand as they continue to struggle with high fuel costs. Extending the suspension of the motor fuel tax under SB 14 will have a major impact on the enormous quantities of fuels consumed in the transport of goods and people in Alaska. It will encourage cargo carriers to maintain flights and cargo hubs in Alaska and encourage air and cruise lines to maintain or reduce fares to stimulate demand. This is a short bill that's before you. It has the extension date in it. There is a fiscal note that is attached to it.
Very good. Thank you. Any questions from members of the committee for the presenter? Seeing none, do you have any more you would like to add?
No.
If not, thank you very much. We have online with us from the Department of River, Joanna Bayless, who's here to answer questions. If other members of the committee have questions of her. Is there anybody else in the audience that would like to testify? Seeing no one, do we have anybody else online? Okay, good. Well, in that case, we're going to close public testimony.
Senator Kukesh, I'm going to be consistent. We heard this bill in State Affairs, and I voted for it then a due pass, and I'll be a due pass as well. And I think this is part of the balance that we heard a little bit on the floor today when some mm-hmm. people said, well, what are we doing for urban Alaska? Mm-hmm. We're doing PCE for rural Alaska. And I think certainly this not only helps urban, it helps rural as well, but I think it primarily helps urban, especially those who are commuting from the valley to Anchorage and back and forth. So I think this is a good bill, and I support it. But there is a little bit of concern. We heard from the DOT earlier in the session about they'd actually like to see us go from the 8 cent fuel tax to 16 or 32 to use some of that money for repairing and building our roads, which is something we are going to have to address at some point in time.
Okay. Good. Thank you. Any other comments from members of the committee? If not, it's my intention to move this bill today, and I'd like, if there's no other discussion, a motion to move this out.
Okay.
Senator Menard?
I'd like to move Senate Bill 14, an act expanding the motor fuel tax suspension period, to its next referral with the attached fiscal note.
Thank you. Any objection? Hearing none, then we'll take a minute to sign the paperwork here. The record here, and we'll next have the House Joint Resolution Number 9 designating the Alaska Aviation Heritage Museum as the official headquarters for the state centennial of flight celebration. Would you please thank you for joining us this afternoon. Would you please give us your name and affiliation for the record and make the presentation?
Paul LeBoule, staff to Representative Foster. Representative Foster regrets he couldn't be here today. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, of all the important legislation to come before you in this committee, this is going to be the most important that will be brought to you by me. The resolution simply designates the Alaska Aviation Heritage Museum as the official headquarters for the Centennial Flight Celebration, which will happen in 2013.
Very simple bill. Yeah, very good. Thank you. Members of the committee, have any questions for the presenter this afternoon? Seeing none, thank you very much for your presentation. We do have online, and I'd like to welcome her to the committee this afternoon, is Gail Phillips. Gail, are you online? Can you
hear
me?
Yes, thank you very much, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, could you give us your name and affiliation for the record, and welcome to our committee this afternoon.
Thank you. I am Gail Phillips of Anchorage, former member of the Alaska Legislature and president of the Alaska Aviation Museum Board of Directors. And thank you, Mr. Chairman, and members of Senate Transportation for hearing our resolution. We urge your approval of HJR 9, which was sponsored by Representative Richard Foster, one of Alaska's longtime premier bush pilots. Approval of this resolution now gives us time to work with all other aviation and historic entities throughout our state to begin planning for this significant anniversary in Alaska's aviation history. We will also be working with other museums of flight throughout the United States and the world to prepare for their participation in Alaska's celebration of motorized flight. This celebration will positively enhance Alaska's economy and visitor industry, and your approval of the designation of the Alaska Aviation Museum as the headquarters organization for the celebration will be greatly appreciated. Again, Mr. Chairman, thank you very much for hearing this resolution.
Thank you, Gail. Any questions from members of the committee for the presenter this afternoon? Seeing none, thank you very much for being here with us this afternoon, and we appreciate your testimony.
Thank you.
Okay, is there anybody else in the audience that would like to testify? Do we have anybody else online? No, if not, we're going to close public testimony, and I'd ask any discussion among members of the committee, and I'd like to recognize for the record that Senator Pasquin has joined us. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I was getting a quick bite.
Yeah, that's fine. And that's perfect, yeah. Anybody else have any comments on this bill? If not, it's my intention to move this bill out of committee. Senator Pasquin?
You know, I was just wondering, you know, I was told by my staff that the first flight took place in the summer of 1913 on the 4th of July exhibition in Fairbanks. And you know, just wondering why that isn't represented within the one of the whereas clauses that that the very, you know, the history of motorized flight took place first in Fairbanks, Alaska on 4th of July 1913.
I don't know, can't answer. Maybe Gail can answer that question, or if anybody else in the audience. Yes.
Mr. Chairman, that issue has come up, and we all, I mean, in knowing about the history of the aviation of flight, everybody acknowledges that the first flight was in Fairbanks. We're working with the Fairbanks folk as part of this celebration, and I don't know why it wasn't included in there. I'm at a loss for that.
Thank you, Gil.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, Senator Pascavan through the chair. We could take a conceptual amendment. It would be considered a friendly amendment to amend.
To correct the omission?
To correct that omission.
Okay, thank you. Senator Pascavan, would you like to make that a conceptual amendment for us today?
Yes, I would move as a conceptual amendment that we recognize a whereas clause at the first flight in the state of Alaska did occur in the summer of 1913 on the 4th of July exhibition in Burbank, Alaska.
Okay. Any objection to that conceptual amendment? Seeing none, then we'll, and so ordered. I was wondering, though, how did the plane get to Fairbanks?
It's a chicken egg.
If the first flight originated there, how did the plane get there?
Probably came through Canada.
Okay.
Canada. White Horse is what I would suspect.
Okay. Well, if there's no objection to the conceptual amendment, and we have passed that as a conceptual amendment, did you have any more? Is there any more questions, Senator Meyer? Did you have a question?
No, I was going to move it.
Okay, go ahead. No, that would be great. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I move that we move House Joint Resolution number 9 with the conceptual amendment and the zero fiscal note out of committee with individual recommendations.
Any objections? Seeing none, then we have moved it out. We'll take just a minute to begin signing the document. Thank you. Let's get back into session here, and I'll ask the committee to, we're going to have next before us Senate Bill 34, and I'd like to ask Senator Dyson to come forward, and if you would state your name and affiliation for the record, please.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Senator Dyson from District I, and with me is my Chief of Staff, Lucky Schultz.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for hearing this bill. As we're looking at all kinds of alternative energy in the state, a very practical one that is often gets ignored is compressed natural gas. As all of you who have been paying attention to energy needs and considerations, you realize that almost none of them presently work for the transportation sector. And we've all hoped that battery development and hydrogen-powered vehicles would be further along in the technology. And in fact, there's been some progress made, but not anywhere near where we were hoping it would be when we started thinking about these 10 things 10 or 15 years ago. Compressed natural gas is making a huge impact in the transportation industry. Countries like Argentina are now at the point where I think about 85% of the public vehicles are CNG powered. And there have quite a few states that are working on this and have made some significant progress. And it is the point now where states that we've talked to in Texas and Utah are running a very significant fleet of buses, for instance, that are powered by compressed natural gas. And the price is getting to be very comparable for the original cost of the vehicle. I know just from all my years of professional experience that virtually all diesel engines can be converted to run on natural gas or propane, which brings great hope for generators in rural Alaska. We hope to be able to supply with some derivative of natural gas in the next very few years. And it's an open argument about which is more efficient, propane or compressed natural gas. My guess is for industrial users, particularly compressed natural gas, will win on the basis of economics and so on. But we have been in an interesting situation here in the Anchorage area where I live, and at least two other members of your committee live, that there were quite a few compressed natural gas and propane-powered vehicles 10, 15 years ago. And it's kind of a chicken and an egg thing. If you want to have a propane or compressed natural gas vehicle, you got to be, where are you going to fill it up? And we've had extensive conversations with our gas company, and they say, in essence, we will build the filling stations as soon as there's a market. And the market people are saying, yeah, as soon as there's filling stations. Now, quite a few folks in my community have hooked up their own generator to the gas supply at their house so that when the electric power goes down, they can feed their own generator. And quite a few folks have been tapping into their natural gas line and putting their own compressor in to be able to fill their own vehicle. But that's what's called a slow fill. And you got to have it hooked up to the your own little compressor for just about as long as you're driving it. It's certainly a long, long night in order to be able to drive all the next day. The commercial applications are for a high-pressure quick fill, and that's what you need for buses and snow clearing equipment and all those sorts of things. So we have struggled to figure out how to get off of being high-centered here and push forward. I am trying to push the municipality of Anchorage to the next round of buses they buy to be CNG-powered. And they're saying, well, there's no place to fill them up. And we've talked with NSTAR and saying, hey, can you make this work for these guys? And we have so far not been able to get the two together. But the advantages of the natural gas in the transportation sector, it looks like even at today's gasoline and diesel prices, compressed natural gas is cheaper to run. And if gas prices, gasoline and diesel prices go back up with the expected surge in crude oil prices, economics get tilted way in our favor. Secondly, there's a profound difference in the emissions. And natural gas, of course, is kind of the preferred fuel of the fossil fuels when it comes to emissions. And particularly with diesel, diesel engines, the nitrogen oxide off of that's a difficult one to deal with. And converting diesel engines to compressed natural gas will have a significant effect on not only the emissions, the reality of the emissions, but the regulatory environment in which they operate. And then as we get to further on with the business of cap and trade, carbon capture and trading and so on, using natural gas in the transportation sector is going to make a very significant difference in how we look to the regulators and the cost of our fuels and or the remedial things we'll need to do. And then we have in the area where I live, the municipal landfill, the dump, as you will, and methane that's produced in the decomposing garbage is a problem. And in fact, we have a proposal from a local, from a contractor who wants to take and solve the problem of the methane that is produced in the dump and supply hundreds of vehicles with fuel every day. And boy, for anybody that's an entrepreneur, if you can figure out how to make money solving somebody's problems, it's a marriage made in heaven. And there are the old Merrill Field there right in the heart of Anchorage. They've got methane coming off that because it's built on an old landfill. And so what we're proposing in this bill is, in essence, a study group, task force, if you will, within the Department of Transportation to figure out get the right people to the table and figure out how do we get from where we're at and make the next step move forward. I think it will be the public sector, the municipal and state vehicles, where it's appropriate, converting to natural gas and making this technology work. And since we were doing this 15, 18 years ago, the technology of both the storage tanks, the engine conversions, and the compressors has come an order of magnitude forward, making all of this very practical, which was marginal before. And I've just told you more than I know, and I'd be glad to have my assistant answer any questions you have.
Okay, thank you very much. Questions?
I had a question on the fiscal note is $75,000, and you anticipate that for this task force that's...
Lucky Schultz, staff to Senator Dyson through the chair. The Department of Transportation and Public Facilities, last time they did this was back in 1993. They feel that to do a proper study this time, they want to hire a consultant to do a proper study. And so the $75,000 is for DOT to hire a consultant.
Okay. And that was not our original intention. Our original intention is where they would do it in-house. And we believe that the experience of other jurisdictions, plus several contractors out there who are eager to get into this business, that it is not that momentous of a task that they need to hire a contractor to do it. But I sense a little bit of the DOT has got a lot on their plate, and I sense that they're kind of reticent to take this on as another project with their existing staff, and I'm sympathetic to that.
Thank you very much. Senator Menard, do you want to follow up?
Just to follow up, you spoke about some of your neighbors with the natural gas tapping into their generators. Would you be one of those neighbors? Do you yourself do that?
I do not.
Okay.
Thank you.
I know you're very inventive, and so.
Thank you. Any other questions from the presenters today? On the presenters? No, thank you very much for your presentation this afternoon. We do have online Aaron Bunker from CNG Alaska just to answer questions, and Diana Rodkiss from DOT to answer questions. So if anybody has any questions for them, they are available to us. Do we have anybody else online to testify? We don't have anybody else online. Is there anybody else in the audience that would like to testify? Seeing none, do you have any more that you want to add before we close the public testimony? Got it all?
Think it. Remember, us old guys are slow.
Mr. Chair, I might mention that Senator Dyson mentioned the landfill, and we tend to think in small quantities of gas coming off the landfill. CNG Alaska has told us that the estimated quantity of methane coming from, and remember that CNG is primarily methane, mm-hmm. but the quantity of methane coming off the Anchorage landfill is enough for 4,000 to 5,000 gasoline gallon equivalents per day.
Wow. Good to know. Senator Meyer?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. In fact, that was one of the projects that we approved in the renewable energy projects earlier this year. I think it was at Merrill Field. It was either that one or the Highland Dump. But anyway, yeah, we'll see how that works. Hopefully it works good. But Senator Dyson, I know even back when I was on the Assembly in the 90s, we were buying natural gas-powered cars and trucks, and we were talking about buses, and I don't know if they ever did. Why did that? You think it petered out just because they couldn't get any fuel stations up here to give them the gas?
I think Ms. Rodkiss is on the line for DOT. She can probably answer that better than I. But let me address a couple of them. First of all, the price of gasoline and diesel back then was a lot less than it is now, and you could not get the participation. People didn't want to convert vehicles. Didn't want to buy the more expensive vehicles. Technology is not where it is now. So it was more expensive to get a vehicle modified then than it would be now. And so in the 10 to 15 years, things have changed dramatically. Technology has improved quite a bit. Gasoline and diesel, as we all know, is up, and I think it's going to go back up further. But again, getting participation was the difficulty back then.
If I could follow up.
Yes, thank you, Senator Meyer.
Why don't we require our own state vehicles to be done using gas.
Through the chair, Senator Meyer, I think that's where we'd like to go. But before we can make that commitment, I'd like to have somebody who knows better tell me what the costs are and what those benefits are so we can make a good decision.
Thus the request for a study.
Yes, sir. Okay. Yeah, and as I think I said earlier, but you hit the key point, somebody has to make the investment in the vehicles to create the market that will put the supply stations out there. And the state is the logical one to do that with the short-haul vehicles. The vehicles that come back to the barn every night, you know, is the very logical one to do it. The technology now is that vehicles will be able to run back and forth to the Mat Valley, for instance, every day, and they have the range, 200-mile range, that makes that possible. That has grossly changed, but the huge difference is the fuel substitution costs. Used to cost you a bit to be the CNG or propane user. Now it's all on the wind side. And as you probably know from your experience in the oil patch, the engines that run on CNG almost always have a significantly longer engine life, as well as lower emissions. So it appears to me that it's win-win for everybody. But somebody's got to break the logjam.
Okay, thank you. Senator Menard?
No, I'll just make one comment.
Okay, go ahead.
This is one of the longest Senate bill titles that I've ever read. So I would say we could add how great it is for emissions in there, but it's already not a very short title.
Any other comments?
I just make the comment that I would hope that the study would look into the pollution issue in light of the air inversion that we experience in interior Alaska and even here in Juneau. I believe at times they have an inversion. Mm-hmm. So I think that that's something that addresses a health component for significant areas of Alaska. So I think that that's a useful goal.
Thank you. Comments or questions from the presenters? If not, we'll close public testimony. We don't have anybody else online or anybody else in the audience. What's the wish of the committee?
Move the bill.
Yes. Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to move Senate Bill 34, an act directing the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities to prepare a report on the feasibility of using compressed natural gas to power vehicles in the state, including vehicles owned or operated by the state, and including in that study, if warranted, a pilot program proposal for powering some vehicles owned or operated by the state with compressed natural gas.
Go ahead.
And with the fiscal note and on to the next.
Okay, with individual recommendations.
Within the recommendations.
Okay, any objection? Seeing none, then what we'll do. Thank you very much. It's so ordered. We'll